You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Well, hello, friends. In this episode of The Art of Imperfect Adulting, I'm going to introduce you to Tina Juretic. And what we talk about, you guys, is how she made a shift in her dating life. But before we began the interview, she asked me about how spiritual my audience was. That's how spiritual you guys are. That's a question that she asked me. And I got to tell you, she stumped me because I didn't really have an answer ready to go for that. I mean, I know that I, as a person, try to keep a very open mind for a wide variety of a lot of things, including spiritual belief. But as for you guys, as for the listeners, well, I got to say, it's honestly not on any of my listener demographic reports. So I didn't have a perfect answer. And I think I maybe made a few guesses based on some of the other guests that have already been featured on the show. We're in the 50s for the number of episodes. So it's a wide range of people who have been featured. And so then we dove right in. And I pretty quickly realized exactly why she had asked me that question. Now, you're going to want to listen to find out what I mean. And with that little bit of vagary, you guys, if you're ready, then I'm ready. And let's go do this. Tina Juretic, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
I'm happy you're here. Are you ready for a chat?
I am, yeah.
That's fun. All right. So I like to start all my interviews, almost all, not all. It's not an absolute equation, but almost all my interviews, I start by asking people where in the world they are talking to me from. So where on the blue marble are you?
Oh, I am currently, I'm looking out the window here in rainy Vancouver in Canada.
Oh, wow. All right. Very nice. Very, very nice. So I love to learn about people's background as a person outside of their job, outside of their family, before we dive into the topic of the day. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself? This might be like people in your life. It could be hobbies you have. It could be the names of your pets. Just a little bit, or as much as you want to tell us about yourself as a person on that level.
Yeah, sure. So I live in Vancouver, and as my full-time job, the one that pays the bills, I am a tour guide. So I travel around Canada, mostly Western Canada, showing people the Rocky Mountains. I love what I do. It's seasonal. So this gives me the winter off. So a few years ago, I started to like just pick up different projects because I'd have all this time off in the wintertime when the weather's not great either. I learned how to do writing. I love gardening and baking and, oh gosh, photography. So I'm a Sagittarius. I don't know if that means anything to anyone except that what it means is I have my fingers in all the pies because all I'm right. Just endlessly curious about things.
All right. Very good. That is a perfect answer to that question. All right. So the topic you propose to talk about today is changing how you looked at the relationships in your life. And what you actually submitted in your own words was, after my last breakup, I realized there was a problem with me, not with men, which I will extrapolate, not with the people you were dating. So are you ready to talk about that today?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's a broad topic, but I'm going to dig right in, all right?
Let's do it.
So when I was getting ready for this, you fill out a form and it tracks to a spreadsheet, and I was doing my research to fill out these questions, and I think you may have actually filled out my form twice, which is great, right?
Oh, okay.
The first time, though, you had a slightly different description of what was going on in your life, and I read it, and the thought that came to my head was, I was like, oh, do you now think that you may have had a pattern of dating a specific type of person until you hit a point where you decided to break the pattern?
Absolutely.
All right. So talk us a little bit.
Or just answer that.
Yeah, yeah. Talk a little bit about that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. My pattern, well, I think all of our patterns do, but my pattern stems from my childhood. Of course, I had really narcissistic parents. So who did I date? Narcissists. But I'm the same age as you. I think we were chatting earlier about your age, so I can tell you we're in the same category here. And I don't think we really understand we have a pattern until we get older, because first of all, you need to date a few people and not date them for a week to see you have a pattern, right? Because
sure. Yeah.
You know, one person isn't a pattern. So by my third partner, I was well into my late 40s, and the pattern was punching me in the face is what it was doing at the time,
Yeah.
because it wanted to be acknowledged. It was like, I don't know how to make this any more obvious. So yes,
Yeah,
narcissist.
there is that phrase that if you don't pay attention to the things that are going on in your life, it'll be like a 2x4 is smacking you in the head. That's not exactly how that quote goes, but
Feels
that
like it
is.
sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So you say that it was trying to get your attention. Is there anything specific that happened that you experienced that made you clearly wake up and think to yourself, okay, this is the time I have got to make a change? Or was it a slow and gradual sort of realization?
I think things were happening, but the realization I was ignoring it. Because when you go back, you see it's not that I didn't see it, it's that I ignored it. There's a big
Fair
difference.
enough. Yeah.
To be fair, the red flags were there with the third one from day one, because I've learned. So I think, in my opinion, that my soul, spirit, whatever you'd like to call it, the universe was trying to show me, because within the first 2 weeks, here's my sign, I fell, I busted a hip. It lasted 4 years. I gained 40 pounds. I couldn't walk. I am an outdoorsman. So this was my job is to be an outdoorsman. This was brutal. 2 weeks after I met this man, what was my body saying to me? Slow down. Be cautious. This is a slippery slope. I literally slipped and fell and broke. My body was telling me to slow down. I didn't know that that's what that meant. So did I follow it? No, I did not. So then 2 years later, it was more that the honeymoon phase is over, because the honeymoon phase ends, right? It does.
Right.
The honeymoon phase, after about a year, people can only be on their best behavior for about a year, and then the true person's going to come out. So we moved in together after a year. So that was a big thing. For me. And he couldn't hide the ugly anymore. So did it sneak up? It snuck up on me, but I started to feel anxious, and I'm not an anxious person, so that was the red flag.
Okay.
Anxious, 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 anxious. And then one day I just went, yeah, nope, he's criticizing me and I'm not tolerating this. And I sat down and I made a list. And that I've never done that in a relationship before.
Okay.
And when you do that, there's a problem. If you're sitting down to make a list of the positives and negatives about your partner, you are already in trouble, right? The fact that you feel the need to do that, but I'd matured enough to do that instead of just continuing to ignore it. So that was the catalyst. Yeah. Yes. It was
Okay.
criticism that felt very familiar, because my mother's bipolar, and so criticism was her number one tool.
Okay. All right. Very cool. So, well, not cool, but I'm
Yes.
following the
Yeah.
story. I'm following the story. So, working on yourself, like, so you realize what does it mean when you say, I realized there was a problem with me and not with them?
Every time something lousy happened, even outside of romantic relationships, even just friendships with girlfriends, because I was attracting narcissists there too, because you attract what you attract. It's all, the law of attraction is the law of attraction. It doesn't just apply to romantic relationships. I'm sorry, I forgot the question. That's so funny. Nope, it's gone. I was gonna try and fake it, but no, I'm just gonna ask you to repeat
I
it.
will happily ask it again. So, what does it mean to you when you say that you realize the problem was me, not the men?
Ah, yes, thank you. Sorry. When I broke up with the last one, because he was my mother, that really was the gut punch, because
So, what you mean is he was the way he
he
was
ended up being
acting was
bipolar like my mother.
reflected. Okay, so it was similar to the behavior of your mom, not that he
Oh
was
my gosh.
actually your mother. Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah, that would be awkward. But so much, like so much that you go, oh my God, how did I not see this? So he is bipolar and undiagnosed. So I'm not a doctor. I only have experience. My mother's undiagnosed as well. So, but once I saw it, oh my gosh, you can't unsee it. And really, it all becomes very clear. So, but at that moment, that was the moment when it brought me to my knees. I also buried my childhood trauma. This is a really important piece of the pie. I didn't remember childhood. Did I know I came from an abusive home? Absolutely. Do I know what my parents are like? Of course I did. But I didn't remember. That's huge. So when I finally realized, when I made that list, realized that this was going on, I started to have flashbacks to childhood. I knew something huge was happening, and this just wasn't another, sort of another breakup. And that was the moment where I went, it's time to stop asking what's wrong with all of the men in the world. And it's time to start saying, what is wrong with me that I only attract this kind of man? Because it's not a matter of, okay, so this man's attracted to me, but I filter them out. No. I am only attracted to narcissists. I
Okay.
used to joke in my 20s that I only liked men if they were emotionally unavailable. Even though that caused me pain, we joke about our pain, don't we? It's how we cope with it, right? We have this kind of humor about it.
Sometimes, although somebody did, I'm a very sarcastic person, and somebody did a while back. They tried to pin that on me. They were like, the sarcasm is a sign of a deep wound. And I was like, no, this is just, I think at this point it's just sarcasm. Talk to me 25 years ago and I would have, might have agreed with you, but today this is just sarcasm.
Well, Gen X, very sarcastic. I think that's part of it.
Yeah,
Gen
and
X.
I was, I think I was, you know, like it depends on the joke. Like if you make a joke about something that is super mundane, it doesn't have to be deeply rooted in something deeply personal, right? All right, so you realize that you've got a pattern. You realize that you're repeating things that feel comfortable to you. You realize that you are not waking up to the warning flags that you think you are, that kind of stuff. What do you do then? You start working on yourself.
Yes, so that was exactly the question. What do I do now? Right? I'm in my mid-40s. I clearly have this pattern. I can imagine why it developed. I'm not an imbecile, right? Like, yeah, no, I've never been to therapy, but I think we all understand childhood is generally responsible for the most of the, trauma in our life, mostly. So I sought help because for the next 3 months, I was stuck in that house with him until I could find a home to go live in. I didn't have anyone to just go crash with until I found a home. And so, oh my God, 3 months of torture. All you do is think, and all you do is analyze, and all you do that. So
Okay.
since I was already asking the right question, what's wrong with me, instead of what's wrong with them? I know what's wrong with them. So what's wrong with me? I then, once I left the house, because I wasn't capable of doing anything while I was living in that house. In fact, I shut down completely, 100% emotionally, so that I could survive. When I left, I knew I would tap into those emotions, and of course, I had to. And so I went to a girlfriend of mine that used to go to a lot of on the weekends. She would do a lot of satsangs and all of these very classes. She was very spiritual. So I said to her, I need to talk to someone. I need someone to explain to me why I have this pattern, what's going on. I need some healing around this. I don't know what to do, though. I need to speak to someone. So, in the past, I had maybe 4 or 5 times met with either a shaman or a channeler or a tarot reader of some nature in spirituality, but it would be years in between those readings. And I often found them to be lofty and cryptic, and I would understand some of the message and not the important part, unfortunately. Now I understand I didn't catch the important part. This woman, what I loved about her is that she was so simple to understand. She made so much sense to me, and she really spoke quite plainly. Oh my gosh, what a game changer that was for my understanding. It doesn't mean there was a couple things she said that maybe went over my head that I now understand, but she's the one who really helped me to see. So a couple key things that helped me to understand. Well, I already understood that I was the problem, but a couple things to help me know where to start working on myself was she walked me through some past lives to show me the pattern I had so that I could heal that. And we did it right there on the spot. Easy, 5 minutes. It didn't take time at all. And that surprised me that it could be that easy, and that intrigued me.
Okay.
Then we walked through now. And she really brought out, because of course she can see the past, present, future, she's bringing out how my parents were raised. And this really helped me to understand, not just because I had the knowledge that my mother's mother was bipolar, I had the knowledge that my father's family were incredibly physically abusive. Having that knowledge and thinking of your parents is one thing, picturing your parents as a 5-year-old and the beating happening. That's where you find the empathy. Because I don't have any.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have a question to
Yeah.
clarify parts of the story. So we're talking about this. So you're going through this, you're still living with the person that you're going, and you reach out to a person who is someone you know socially, And how would you describe the services that she provided to you? Like you said in the past that you had met with people who described themselves as shaman. How would she have described? She's somebody who did past life work. What would she have said her services were?
She's a channeler. She
A
does.
channeler. Okay.
Yeah, she was a channel. So the friend wasn't the channeler. She connected me to
Okay.
the channeler.
The
The friend is
friend
a
connected
friend.
you.
Yeah,
Okay.
I just knew she knew lots of teachers and I didn't know any.
Okay,
And
so
I
the
wanted a
friend connects
recommendation.
you to a channeler, and you begin to work on the channeler with what I would call past life regression work.
We weren't working with past lives. We did, like, we had a 2-hour meeting and we probably spent 20 minutes on a pa on past lives. So
Okay.
it was about the present, because when I sat down with her, I said to her, I am angry. I am angry at the universe. I am angry. And she just went, like, I was so angry that I just like raged on her for a minute. This stranger, this poor stranger, this lovely, gorgeous little tiny little petite little blonde thing. She's just so lovely. I just was like, because for me, what I felt like at that moment was, why do some people have these beautiful lives and all I've had is just crap heaped on me? What have I done to deserve this? Right? So I'm in my
Okay.
victimhood, right? What have I done to deserve this? Why can't I get out of it? Why does the universe keep punishing me? That's where I was at. Why does the universe keep bringing these men to me that harm me? What have I done to deserve that? Right? Victimhood. What have I
Okay.
done? Right?
And then, when you were picking who, when you were thinking at this process, earlier you said that you felt like you wanted to talk to somebody. So, how did you just went to a friend and asked who can help me, or were you looking for a specific type of person? And is there a reason that you went a spiritual route instead of going a more westernized cognitive therapist type route?
Jump back a little bit. I'll speed through this, but my parents were when I was 10, my parents joined a really fanatical Christian cult-like church. I leave home when I'm just barely 17. I have no love for religion at all. I'm not agnostic, but I'm nothing.
Okay.
I'm dead inside. In my mid-20s, I meet a practicing good witch, if you would, a white witch, she called herself back in those days in the 90s. She was the first new age spiritual person I had ever met.
Okay.
I was fascinated by her. She could sit in front of you and tell you everything, past, present, future, tarot, numerology. She was unbelievably gifted. And I didn't believe it at first, but there was just no denying what she knew about me. And she was a stranger. It was crazy. And that's what started me to start to lean towards that. But one foot in, one foot out. I read the Celestine Prophecy, as we all did in those days, and the Secret, and all those things, right? A lot of it just went right over my head. I didn't understand it, but I liked the idea. So I would call myself spiritual, but I really only had a toe in at that time. Years later, someone would go, "Oh, Tina, I know you love these readings. There's a shaman that lives." I lived in Cancun for many years. So there's a shaman. He just moved here. Do you want to go see him? Yeah. So it would be, again, in 20 years, I maybe had 4 readings. So it wasn't something I did all the time. It was also something I couldn't afford, but it fascinated me.
Okay.
So that's why I went the spiritual route. I knew that this was tied to the past. I knew it was tied to childhood. Therefore, I needed someone that could go back and either do hypnotherapy
Okay.
or, like that. So this is why I did. I chose the spiritual route because my soul was screaming for it too. Even if I didn't understand that, I felt it. I felt
Okay. So how long ago, let's put this in a little bit of a timeline. How long ago did you start this process of inner work and self-work to change this pattern?
August 2019.
All
God, I need to
right.
give you a
So
date.
2019. So we're 4 or 5 years. Is
Yeah.
that the right math? Okay. So all right. And you were living with this person at the beginning of this process. You eventually move out, but were you dating other people while you were doing this work on your relationship patterns?
I have not dated anyone in 5 years.
This was when I was coming up with the questions. I was like, I am super
I'm sorry, I don't
curious.
know how you heal and date. I don't know how you
I
feel
don't
in
have any
the
judgment about it. I just was like super curious.
And it's not my place to judge, but I don't know how you heal and date. Because the minute someone else has entered your auric field, they are influencing you, and you are no longer making choices that are only about you. And that is why, when, and in between my relationships, and I only had three major ones, I'd go years without dating.
Okay.
I was never that person. I needed time to heal, psychoanalyze, understand. And also, I always just felt men weren't that attracted to me in my life. I was never someone that got the attention of men. And that's why it was like, really? So the only three men who ever even looked at me, okay, that weren't married or something gross, you know what I mean? But the only three men who ever looked at me are narcissists. What's wrong with me? How can I not ask that question, right? What's wrong with me that nobody but a narcissist will love me? Oh, and then let's face it, that's not love. So
So yeah,
then,
that's a
what's
whole
wrong with me? No
theme
one loves
of
me.
it's a whole theme of a field of self-development books, right? That whenever you have that question about what's wrong with me, the follow-up question could really be what happened to you.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I've actually never heard that before. That's brilliant. Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's where the body keeps the score, and I think the book is actually called What Happened to You. Like there's a couple books about that. So
I've heard that. A lot of
all
keeps.
right, so what changed in your life as a result of doing some of this inner work?
What didn't change is the question.
Would be a
Does
shorter
this
list.
change me? Yeah. So for me, I will clarify this for some of your listeners. Not only did I do the healing, I had a spiritual awakening at the same time. So that's why I say what didn't change, because mind, body, spirit changed for me, all three. So when I went to see this channeler, what I really loved that she did, and it's become part of now how I teach people, just, and I just mean teach people, like even my sister came to me, she had a spiritual awakening and was like, okay, time for me to heal. And I'm going through it with her. And God, I just love watching her grow as well, because I know how that felt for me as I removed all of this trauma that had hijacked my life that I didn't even know. Oh my God, what a difference. So the channeler, she walked me through the generational trauma, and that was huge, because that's what gave me the grace to be able to forgive my parents. Was
Okay.
understanding, first of all, that they suffered as well, but also to understand that the only way to change it for future generations is to be the change.
All
If you
right.
are the change, you change your entire bloodline for the rest of their future, because trauma is passed down through the bloodline the same way disease is. We go to the doctor, they ask us, what disease runs in your family, right? They should be asking us, what trauma runs through our family.
Yeah, that's the
Right?
study of epigenetics. Yes, that's the study. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So having an understanding of it gave me the ability to forgive it, which is really, really huge. She also told me then, what this channeler had said is, after we worked through all this, she said, you're going to write a book now. This is what your guides want from you. You're going to write a memoir. You're going to start. And I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do this? This is why the date's so clear to me that it was August 2019, is because 2020.
Oh, okay. Yep.
You see where
Very
I'm going
good.
with this? Because I was
Yep.
like, when am I supposed to write a book? I'm a full-time, or not full-time, to be fair, it's seasonal. So in my head, I'm going, okay, I can write, then I'll have to go back to work for 6 months, then I can write. This is going to take me 10 years, right? And she goes, no. Like, I'm not even saying it out loud, and she knows what I'm thinking. She says, don't you worry. It's going to take you 2 years. And she kind of smiled and went, you'll find the time. She knew COVID was coming. It was not her place to tell me. A really good channeler knows when to hold back information, because it's not their place to tell it, right? For whatever reason. So I sat down, and then for 2 years, that was my healing process. For me, the writing and the healing went hand in hand, because you cannot journal about your entire life, which writing a memoir is journaling on speed, right? You are writing your whole life out there. Well, not whole life, but you know what I'm saying, the portion you're wanting to reveal. It's right there in front of you in black and white. You cannot hide anywhere.
Very
And I
cool.
needed to heal as I was going along.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, journaling is a well-respected tool for self-analysis and unlocking things for sure. You were working with a spiritual channeler, and also then you were referencing, you mentioned this guides, which I think you mean spirit guides.
I do.
Spirit guides. Okay, just to bring everybody into the words that you're using. All right.
Yes.
So this is kind of a random question. You mentioned that you didn't date during the time that you were working on this or writing the book. Dating during lockdown was, I hear, kind of a process anyway. So we get a pass. Has the inner work that you've been doing or that you've done, has that impacted the relationships that you have or could have with the people who you had dated in the past? I'm not sure if this is a good question, but like you have these three relationships with people you are romantically involved with. You have these relationships with your parents. You're doing this inner work. Did that change any of the relationships with those people?
So the three exes, once they were exes, they are not in my life. I do
Okay,
not
so
keep
no.
exes in my life. So change for them? No. Actually, what it did do is the minute I started writing the book, I blocked each one of them on Facebook. I
Oh, so
blocked
it did
all over
change
social media.
your
There
side
you
of the
go.
relationship. You put some closure in and some boundaries.
Boundaries. So that was
Okay.
going to say that I was going to say that was my biggest thing was that's what it did. It taught me to love myself. I did not understand that I did not love myself because that's what my parents taught me, not to love myself, right? My mother every day was like, I don't love you. I never wanted children. You're fat. You're never going to be anything in life. Oh my God, you're such useless. So of course, this is my mental state, right? So boundaries was huge for me. Huge, huge boundaries. And with my family as well. I know the way you worded the question was a bit funny, but I'll say this because I think I see what you're getting at with relationships as well is a lot of friendships fell away when I started doing the inner work.
Okay.
It is amazing how much friends fell away because you see, you don't get what you want in life, you get what you are.
Okay.
Energetically.
Okay.
Now, someone like me that's attracting narcissists, the first time I heard that, I was incredibly offended. Of course, I was, because I'm not a narcissist and I'm not mean and I don't hurt people. Why would you say that? Broken people attract broken people, period.
Okay.
Narcissists are broken in a different way, but they are broken. Someone like myself that keeps on the narcissistic abuse because it's all I know, I'm broken. Like attracts like. When I mend myself and I am healed, I don't even attract those people, don't even come in my auric field anymore because I repel them.
All right, so
Our
off to
frequencies don't align.
fresh pastures then. New people
Exactly.
into your life. That was the impact of doing this work. If you could go back to a younger version of yourself, before you started getting into any relationships, but with the knowledge that you have today, right? So like this is an imaginary situation, like a reparenting kind of thing. What would you tell yourself, that younger version of yourself, about relationships and dating?
Oh, specifically about, okay, because I had some ideas about relationship and dating. Never reveal everything about yourself in the first few dates.
Okay.
Because if there's a narcissist out there, you are giving them a blueprint on how to manipulate you. If you tell a narcissist, yeah, my last partner, like, they never listened. You better believe your narcissist is going to be the best listener while you're in the honeymoon phase that you've ever seen in your life. You've given them the blueprint on how to manipulate you. That is one piece of advice I would give to myself. Don't overshare who you are on your first couple of dates.
Okay, that's a decent
Wait.
piece of advice. Yeah,
Thank
that's
you.
it.
I learned it recently.
That's a decent piece of advice, even if you're not dating
For
narcissists. Like,
anyone, yes.
listen,
Oh, don't overshare.
don't oversharing right out the gate, is not always helpful. Sometimes it doesn't matter, but all right. So in a minute, we're going to do final questions, but I do want to give you a chance. You told us that you're a tour guide, and you've written a memoir. I want to give you a chance to directly talk about that, what you're doing, what you've done, where they can find the book, that kind of stuff.
Sure. The memoir came out last September, so this is on Amazon. You can find it anywhere on Amazon. I have an author's website, so if you want to go there, you can see all the social media handles there, and I have a link to Amazon as well there. So my author's website is called Sovereign and Sage. I spell and, so sovereignandsage.com, and my memoir is called Finding My Sovereignty.
Finding My Sovereignty, Sovereign and Sage. The easiest way to get those links for the people who are listening, who listen to the show all the time, they know this. But the easiest way is to be a subscriber to the Imperfect Adulting email community, because I put those links directly into the email newsletter and you can just click on them. They are also in the show notes, but who goes to the show notes these days? Just a few people. So check out the book, check out the author's website. All of those things. We're going to close. I'm going to end, ask you three questions. These are just not related to anything that we've talked about today. They're just for fun. The idea is that you try and answer with whatever comes to mind. All right.
Yep.
What is your favorite holiday?
Favorite holiday? Halloween.
Halloween. Do you like amusement parks and or roller coasters?
Love.
There you
love.
go. When somebody makes you really, really mad, what is something that you do as a reaction? Like, are you a quiet mad or do you yell?
Ooh, good question. Quiet.
You're quiet mad. All right. That's it. Tina Juretic, thank you so much for being a great guest today on the Art of Imperfect Adulting.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely chatting with you.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obviously, again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.